It is, and has been, and still is, a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. An open book. This is where we find our lives before God. There's nothing we have done. There's nothing that we will do that God does not know about. He is most definitely an all-powerful, all-knowing, and an all-present God. If you are living your life and think that for 1 second, one blink of an eye, that you are doing something that God does not see, I encourage you at this moment to think again.
Amen.
We go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we find that as God had created man and woman in his image, he created them to be holy. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Eve saw fit to listen to the old serpent and to think that truly she would become as a god by eating from the tree that God commanded them not to eat of. And the scripture says, as she saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, or good to the eyes, and good to eat, that she did eat, and she gave it to her husband, and he did eat as well. True enough, their eyes were open. They realized good, and they realized evil. But they did not become as gods. They became sinners. They became something and somebody that God was displeased with. Bible tells us that God hates sin. Yeah. Loves the sinner, but yet hates sin. Yeah. But when man continues to be disobedient to him, there's punishment. Yeah. And their punishment was to be put out of the garden. And we can read time and time again where man decides to do what they want to do and think that God is going to be pleased with it. But as you read and heard the scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. What is man's responsibility? What is man supposed to do with this life in which God has given them? So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty or the whole of man. This is what man was created for, was to commune with God, to be holy as God is holy. But yet, since man sinned, scriptures teach in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So how many things have you gotten away with lately? How many times have you thought that you have pulled the wool over somebody's eyes, but yet not God's? Because God knows all. Amen. Knows every single thing that we've done, and he will continue to know these things. And God is waiting for us to turn back to him before it is too late. I'm glad that Brother Glenn picked that song, hymn number 62, because it deals with the things I want to talk about on this evening from Psalm 139. And don't turn there yet, we're not there. I just want you to know before I forget that point. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, again, I want to stress the importance of there's nothing about us, nothing about you, nothing about me that is hidden from God. Oh, you can go on your job and you can go in the restroom, you can hide. Oh, it's supposed to be break time. Yeah, you go on break, but yeah, you stay over. Man, it's time to go home, but yet before it's time to go home, remember how many people you see gather around the time clock and they're just eating up time where they can be on that assembly line or being doing something that is pleasing not to God, but yet it would be pleasing to God, but pleasing to that man that hired you. You think you're getting away with something? Somebody somewhere is watching you. And they're documenting all these things, and they're just waiting until the right moment in order to call you into office. But there's a God that we serve that's long-suffering. He's patient toward us, and he don't want anyone to perish, but there's one day he's going to call you, not in the office, but he's going to call you before the great throne, and you're going to be judged. The scriptures teach us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We are naked before God. Remember, that's the reason why Adam and Eve went and hid, because they said, we were naked. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to eat of? They didn't have to answer that question, just like we don't have to answer the question today. Have you committed a sin lately? Didn't say today, just say lately. Have you committed a sin lately? There are many people who say, I have not sinned. I've never committed a sin, but the Bible says you are a liar. Because what you're actually doing is saying that God is lying. But the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So therefore, we cannot live as though we have never done anything wrong. We could not live, although we're doing things wrong, and saying that it's okay in the eyes of God. Because it's not okay. We are an open book. We are laid out before God. He can read us better than we can read ourselves, because that's the type of God we know. That's the type of God we serve. A God that knows us inside and out. With the exception of these two brothers right here, and myself and a couple others, God can count every hair on your head. He knows exactly how many hairs you have. He knows exactly what's going on in your lives. He knows exactly what you're doing now. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. That's God. Don't be afraid. Only thing you need to do is get right. And you don't have to worry about God knowing your heart, because that's exactly what man says. God knows my heart. He knows why come I didn't come to worship service. He knows why come I didn't go out and visit the sick. He knows why come I didn't give as I was prospered. He knows my heart. He knows I have bills to pay. He knows I have to take care of my family. He knows this. He knows that. You are absolutely right. God knows. God knows. And that is what's going to get a whole lot of us in trouble. God knows. In the book of Psalm 90, in the verse is 8. Psalm 90, in the verse is 8. We are truly an open book. He is God from the beginning, and he'll be God in the end. He's the God that we serve, the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the same God of tomorrow. We need to continue to trust in him. We need to continue to do what is right and understand that God sees us as his children. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You've laid them out before us. You've pointed out our sins. That's what the Bible tells us here. And as the nation of Israel, as their sins are pointed out to them, God is requiring them to get them right. He's doing the same for us today. Our sins are laid out before us. They're pointed out to us. They're brought to our attention, although we know what we're doing. But yet, someone brings them to our attention again. They're laid out. God is waiting on us to get those things right. So I ask this evening, what are we waiting on? What are we waiting on to turn back to God? What are we waiting on to turn to God? What are we waiting on to walk the way that we're supposed to walk as being children of God? Now let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Start with verse 1. Psalm 139. What have we figured out about God. It says in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse 2, thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. But there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows us. He knows everything that we do. Yesterday, what did you do? What did you do? So a lot of us forget what we did on yesterday. We forget what we did Friday. We forget what we did on Thursday. We forget what we did on Wednesday. And if I go any further, a lot of us say, you know, I don't remember back that far. But you know who remembers? God remembers. Because he's our creator. He knows exactly what we've done. He knows exactly what we're going to do. He knows our schedules better than we know them. We make plans to do things, and yet God says, I'm not included in your plans. You think those things are going to work? The book of James teaches us that. You know, for those of you that said, I'm going to go and do this, I'm going to go into the city, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain, God said, if you live, you'll do those things. And we talk about doing the Lord's will. If you live, you should do what God tells you to do. God should be included in your plans. But he knows when man is not including him. He knows when man has forgotten about him. He knows when men go about their busy days, when they wake up in the morning, they forget to pray, when they forget when they leave the house that they were supposed to put the whole armor of God on. He knows these things. And he knows that Satan is going to be out there trying to get you. He knows these things. He's our God. He's ready to protect us. But yet, we don't want his protection. What seems to be the problem? The problem is this. Man think that they know better than God. Turn 21, what do people say? I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. Somebody needs to tell you what to do. Somebody needs to direct your path. Somebody needs to lead you along the way. Verse 2, once again, as we look at verse 2. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. What does God really know about us? He knows the good things. He knows the bad things. He knows the things that you're having problems with. He knows the things that you can just excel in. God knows these things. Why? Because he's God. Have you ever tried to make something? You know, in school, we used to do these little projects. The best one that I believe everybody probably have really thought of and probably a lot of us have really done was those little volcanoes. You made this volcano and you put the soda in there and then you pour the water and you just watch it bubble out. You know, that's what you expect it to do, right? You expect that volcano to explode because you have done everything that you're supposed to do. You know what God expects us to do? Because he's our creator. We made that volcano. We made exactly the way the instructions told us to. God made us in his own image. You know what he expects us to do? He expects us to be holy. But you know what we do? When that volcano didn't act right, when that volcano didn't do what we were supposed to do, we would crush it. But God is not crushing us. He's giving us an opportunity to get our lives right. He knows us. He knows what you're going to do when you get up. He knows exactly what you're thinking about right now. He knows what you're going to do when you leave this place. He knows what you're going to do on tomorrow. He's gone. He's gone. One thing I can say, and I'm really glad about the God that we serve, God is not making us do anything. He gives us that choice. He's laid out the plan for us, and all we have to do is follow it. And he tells you, if you follow the plan, this is what will happen. If you don't follow it, this will happen. The teacher gave you a grade on that volcano because a lot of us took it to school. If it really exploded the way you were supposed to, she may have gave you a B. I'm not going to give you an A for a volcano because everybody's doing it, but a B. And if it just fluttered a little bit or fluttered a little bit, she gave you a C. And if you just threw it together like some of us probably did, she gave you a D. We're an open book. What kind of grade are we going to get in the end? What is God going to tell us in the end? It's not an A, B, C, or D. It's a pass or fail. You're going to either get in or you're not going to get in. It's simple as that. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Verse 3. Again, he says, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. all my ways. Not some of them, but all my ways. See, a lot of times we don't even know our spouses like that. We don't know exactly what our spouses are thinking right now, but God knows. I remember the time when my mom, when we were sitting there and the commercial came on, and the commercial, you know, had that song on there, "If You Don't Know Me By Now." She looked over at my dad and started laughing. It was pretty funny. Because we really don't know our spouses the way we think we know them. Do we love them? Yes, we love them. Do they love us? Yes, they love us. But there are some things they may never know. They may never know. But you know who knows? God knows. And that's what we have to always remember, that God knows everything. He's acquainted with our ways. Those that did not come back to assembly this evening, God knows their ways. He knows that, you know, when they left here this morning, they wasn't planning on coming back. There are some that may come back, and they wasn't planning on coming back, but something or somebody called them or something changed their plans, and they came back. That's great. That's what we want. We want you to come back to evening worship. But those that just had in their minds, "I'm not going back," God was acquainted with their ways. He's acquainted with their ways, and he knows that those same people that are not coming back today, as it was told to us when we got ready to graduate, the counselors and all said, "We don't want you to use that word graduate anymore. We want you to use the word commencement." What's the difference? And there were some that were supposed to graduate, but yet they didn't do what they were supposed to, and they were walking around the building. They were skipping the rehearsal. They were just walking around the building. They say the same ones that are walking around the building right now are the same ones that would not walk across that stage. I want you to understand that, and I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. The same ones that are skipping the assemblies right now for no good reason, those are the same ones that probably won't get into heaven. There are some of us that are sitting here right now that will not get into heaven. But you know what? As we stated this morning, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what would the ungodly be? Where would they appear? Where would that sinner man appear? So we have to keep our lives in order, because God, again, he's acquainted with our ways. He knows every single thing about us. In verse 4, once again, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together." Not a word that we speak that God does not know. Nothing that we say that God is not familiar with. When he look at you, what does he think? "That's my son. I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with her. That is my child. I understand exactly what they're saying, because they're going to speak my word. They're going to go to the scriptures and they're going to look at the word and they're going to speak it the way it is written." Or he's listening. And you're saying some things that you should not say. He's familiar with that as well, because he knows good and evil, that he has nothing to do with evil. So therefore, if he has nothing to do with evil, he has to understand evil. We need to understand that as well, that God is looking at us. God is watching everything that we do. He knows our daily schedule. He knows our thoughts. He knows our path. He knows the road that we're going down. He knows if we need to turn around now, or he knows if we need to keep straight. But yet he knows everything that we're going to say. God knows. God knows. Question was asked to me, where in the Bible say that the Father knows best? Talking about God. I said, I don't know a scripture right offhand that said the Father knows best, but God does. He knows best. That was a TV program that said, Father knows best. What it was saying, that everything Father said, you know, we should listen to him because he knows best. That's the same thing that we need to think about God. God, he knows exactly what's good for us. Amen. And if we will follow his will, everything will be okay. Amen. Let's continue. Let's think about all the things that God knows. And let's think about all the things that we're supposed to be doing. He knows the flaws that we have. He knows the corrections we need to make in our lives. He knows the things that we can improve on. He knows the things that we need to continue to do, because he has given us the ability to do certain things, and therefore we need to just continue to sharpen those abilities and continue to live for him. If it's out there teaching someone a personal Bible study, those are the things that we need to do, because God will be with us. If it's praying for people when they're asking you to pray for them, continue to pray for them, because God will be with us. He will hear our prayers. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. But those individuals that the book is open and they're not doing what they're supposed to, I said, God is not hearing their prayers. Remember, that's what happened to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 59. You know, when it says that God's hand is not shortened that it cannot hear, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated between you and your God. So we have to get our lines in order for our prayers to be heard. I want us to continue to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want to encourage you to live a life that is pleasing to God. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in the verse is 7. And that song that Brother Glenn led, Precious Lord, it goes down to verse 10, but I only wanted to cover the first four verses. You can read the rest of that chapter and you can find some good information there, some good things in which we need to conduct our lives in that God will be pleased with, because he knows all, because we are an open book. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have you ever seen a child, or maybe even one of your childs, or maybe even you? You went to the grocery store with your mom, or you went to a carnival or somewhere with your mom or your dad or your older sister, your older brother, uncle, aunt, or somebody. And you got separated away from them, but you knew what they had on. You knew exactly what they looked like from behind. And you ran up to this person and you began to pull on their coattail or their dress tail. And they turned around and looked at you like, who are you? That will never happen to you. Consider yourself to be lucky. Because there are many people that have pulled on the wrong shirt tail and got just totally embarrassed or got knocked down or got, you know, told something that they shouldn't have never heard. But the Bible tells us right here that our Father, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He knows us. And in order to do this, we must know him. How are we going to know him if we never open up the book? We are open book, so therefore we must open up the book. Take that in consideration as you think about what you're going to do on this evening. Take that in consideration as you start making plans for tomorrow. Take that in consideration as you plan your next trip. Take that in consideration when you begin to speak your next sentence. Take those things in consideration because God knows us. Maybe you're here this evening and you do not have this relationship that others have with God. Maybe you haven't made that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you realize that you need to in order to be pleasing to him because he knows you. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have any idea what sin is, but yet when your mom and dad tell you to do something and you don't do those things, you get in trouble. You know that was wrong. That's what sin is. The book of James chapter 4 verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. Sin is knowing good from wrong, or right from wrong, and choosing to do wrong, that is sin. And if you are in sin, you are away from God. That's to the one that's an alien sinner, that one that has never been immersed in the water of great baptism, coming in contact with the blood. You need to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You do that before the ones that's here, be immersed in the water of great baptism, be added to the body by the Lord himself. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. And you realize that at this moment that God sees everything that you're doing, but yet you're out there creeping in the middle of the night. You're out there doing things in the darkness. But yet, knowing now that God sees these things, you know that you need to get them right. Don't hesitate. Do not hesitate. For tomorrow is not promised to either one of us. James said, your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You heard this morning that Brother Dunn's mother passed on Thursday night. You heard this morning that Brother Shank passed on last night. What about you? Is tomorrow yours? The answer is absolutely not. Tomorrow is not promised to either one of us. So therefore, let us get our lives in order. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as you stand and sing the invitation hymn.